Joining us now, Josh Briscoe. You can hear him on the Chiefs Network. Talking about the game next Friday, the first regular season game for Josh Briscoe and the Chiefs Network when he has pregame, halftime, and post for you then. Josh, good afternoon.
Hey, Bink. Happy to be talking to you here. Oh, I'm hearing myself a little bit right now.
Are you hearing yourself?
I usually enjoy that.
It's a mix-minus thing, I think, JT.
It is. I like the sound of my own voice, generally speaking.
The mouth of the Midwest.
Yes, but I cannot wait to get going for regular season game. That third preseason game was genuinely fun. You know, we covered two preseason games, almost like practices, getting to these guys down the depth chart. There you go. I'm all clear now.
You better now.
And all good. And week three there was so much fun just to have Patrick Mahomes on the football field and be talking about some of the starters. So Friday, I would say Friday can't get here soon enough. I'll take the time to prep for it, but I'm excited for Friday to get here, truly.
No, it is. And the one thing about it was a little bit different. Then because, you know, the way things have gone, it was the third preseason game when they had four. It was the third one. It was kind of the dress rehearsal. And the fourth one, you didn't do it. And typically now the way things have gone, when you get to third preseason game, nobody plays. But because they had to play in Seattle and go to the West Coast again and play on turf and in the rain, it changed things up. They're at Arrowhead Stadium, let the starters play. And it kind of worked out. They did.
It really worked out great, because the one thing that you can't control, and the one thing that not even great coaching and great players can indicate, is if you're going to escape healthy or not. And obviously they suffered quite a few injuries in Seattle and then came out with an empty injury report at home against the Bears. So you got to see the starters get those reps. I was really, not that I had any like doubts simmering, but I was heartened by seeing the first team offense play as well as it did in that preseason finale, because it felt like a little bit of a preview of what we're going to see a week from tonight in Brazil.
Yeah, I'm glad they get that out of the way. Get the team running, going, look so much more efficient than the rest of the preseason. That left a good taste in the mouth. Before we dive into things a little bit more with the Chiefs, Josh, first of all, the Micah Parsons deal, when it came out, can you imagine like if that was hanging over the Chiefs and they did that for a team that's drafted five of the last six draft, the Packers, in the 20s? It's not like they got premium first-round picks, so let's put that aside. But from a Chiefs perspective, they don't have to deal with Micah Parsons on Thanksgiving, right? You can sit there with the macaroni, the turkey, and everything else. You're not worried about Micah Parsons now if you're a Chiefs fan.
I think my dinner will probably taste a little better. I know Patrick Mahomes and Josh Simmons and Juwan Taylor's dinner that night will taste a lot better. Yeah, what a wild saga. I mean, I guess at this point it's on me if I'm ever like genuinely surprised by Jerry Jones doing something kind of befuddling. But that was not enough of a return for him to go out there and say, well, I wanted a new Herschel Walker.
We're just fine.
We're going to find some all pros with these first round picks. Maybe even players as good as Micah Parsons. Unlikely. Or Michael Parson.
Michael.
Man, I don't know. The one thing you can lean back on is we got kind of somewhat close to that with Chris Jones. He was sitting up in the box in week one. And, you know, I guess you could say in retrospect, I mean, Jones got a huge deal there. I don't know if he won or if the Chiefs won. I'm putting these in big air quotes. Everybody won because he got paid and he stayed a part of the defense that is built around him. If anything Chiefs related comes to mind on the Micah Parsons deal, it's how continually grateful I am that they got the Chris Jones deal done. It was expensive, but it was worth it. Because if they would have traded Chris Jones for two firsts and a 29-year-old D lineman on the eve of the season, things would not have gone as well following that.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, you know, he wasn't even a first-round pick. Creed Humphrey, not a first-round pick. Trey Smith, a sixth-round pick. And all these guys are now the highest paid at their positions in the NFL. That's what's drafting does well. It's a catch 22 because you draft these guys into the rounds, and guess what? You eventually got to pay them like a first rounder. Were you surprised at all with any of the roster? I know people were freaking out when Tonyan, Big Bob, was cut from the Chiefs because he had such a great preseason. They're going to need him. But tried to calm everybody down, saying, "Listen, they're going to massage this roster. Maybe someone goes to the IR. Maybe the suspension's coming. But Robert Tonyan will be back on this 53. Don't worry about it, Big Bob fans, because today, yesterday when the transactions went out, but he's officially back on the 53. Any big surprises to you?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that about Tonyan, because I am at this point, I'm a card-carrying member of the Big Bob Boosters Club. Like, I am ready for that. I'm glad he's back on the 53. That made a lot of sense. There's one thing, I don't want to overstate it. I'm not saying it this way just to be dramatic. I am genuinely shocked by one thing on the roster, and it's not Isopole, you know, getting cut and then poached by the Jets. I understand that, but like, I don't want to get too worked up about the practice squad as like a general rule for life, right? I'm shocked that Mike Pinnell is not on this roster anywhere to be found. And I don't know if you saw his Instagram stories posting quotes from the Joker from The Dark Knight talking about how it's not about the money, it's about sending a message. Mike Pinnell, I know he's an older D tackle, but the Chiefs traded for Derek Nnadi, a guy who Mike Pinnell outplayed and like outsnapped last year by the Chiefs' own snap counts. They preferred Pinnell last year over Nnadi. They bring Pinnell back. They let Nnadi walk. They end up with that late round pick swap to bring Nnadi back. And Pinnell is just on the street right now. I do like a few of the defensive tackles on the practice squad. They found a couple younger kind of high day two draft picks that didn't work out at their first place. That's a good guys to have on your practice squad. But Mike Pinnell was the only run stuffing one tech defensive tackle on this roster of note, other than like Marlon Tuipulotu throughout training camp. Tuipulotu's on the practice squad. Pinnell was essentially their starter there last year and throughout this offseason. So, like, you know, Omar Norman Lott, if he's healthy enough to be a part of this defense early on, he's still a rookie who was not a one tech by any means whatsoever in college, even as he's put on some weight since he got here. I like Derek Nnadi a lot, but he's the only guy that lines up to do that. Jerry Tillery plays a little more like Chris Jones, and Chris Jones, obviously, he holds his own in the run game, but that's not where he's made all that money. So I really am quite stunned that Mike Pinnell has ended up being a full-on cut out of this roster, and maybe there's a reunion down the stretch somewhere, but from the way that Pinnell's posted about it, it doesn't seem like he was in on that. This is just like a long plan to bring him back down the line, and he's not even getting practice squad checks right now. So I would understand him being frustrated.
Which are very nice.
Right, yeah. I mean, as opposed to, hey, man, stay home and stay healthy. Maybe we'll call you around Thanksgiving or whatever. I'm really surprised Pinnell's not on this roster. They have four defensive tackles now, and only one of them is a real one-tech run stuffer, and it's Derek Nnadi, who they played like 20% of the snaps last year and then let walk in free agency. So I find that whole process very, very curious.
I'm with you on that, too, because I thought he brought some toughness and stability with that defensive line. But obviously, they made the move to Derek, but also kind of Omar Norman Lott. Like, he gained weight, the second-round pick for the Chiefs, and they tried him a little bit more in the interior in the one technique and areas like that. And to me, that's not what he does best. What he does best is in the three and moved around. So I don't know if they're going to keep that experiment or not, or if bringing back Nnadi kind of ended that experiment.
I'm wondering the same thing, and again, I understand, like, there's the idea of here's what you were in college, here's what we think you can be as a pro, but like you said, that's not what he was asked to do in college at all. He had a very light workload, and he was a lighter D lineman than he has been in a Chiefs uniform. So no, I have to imagine that one of those, maybe it's Marlon Tuipulotu, maybe one of those guys is like a week one game day call up, and maybe somebody else is a healthy scratch somewhere else down the defensive line or whatever. This unit did not, in my mind, didn't have enough beef at defensive tackle all off season. Like, it was the thing that I remember talking about and saying, well, you know, if there's anywhere they might want to add somebody, it'll be the defensive tackle spot. And then when they acquired Nnadi, I thought, oh, okay, well, you know, it's not moving the needle a ton, but they're basically going to have last year's group and then have Nnadi be the guy behind Pinnell. And then they just let Pinnell go. So again, it's not an earth-shattering thing, I suppose, but they really kind of, they treated him like he was going to be most likely getting the start. And he was, even his preseason snaps were earlier in the game with the starters, like he was going to be starting next to Chris Jones. And now he's nowhere to be found on the roster. So that, again, that's the thing that stands out to me as a legit surprise.
You know what they always say in life, Josh? Don't burn a bridge.
Yeah.
Like, definitely, you, like the Chiefs, you don't want to say crap. Like, if you get cut by the Chiefs or not re-signed by them, you don't want to say anything. Because you know what? If you don't, you could end up back here. Just like Nnadi did. Just like Juju has. Now Clyde's back on the practice squad. And we've even seen Mecole Hardman once he went to the Jets and came back. So the lesson is, hey, if the Chiefs move on from you, don't say anything about them. Because they might bring you back for a job.
Yes, they love a reunion, and they trust the guys who know how things work in that building, and I think there's certainly a lot of value to that. I just sometimes also you wonder, like, well, what, you know, what's the upshot? I think having Clyde on the practice squad makes total sense, but you have Clyde and Carson Steele, and I'm wondering, well, would you like to? Was there a younger running back with a little more burst that you might want to have kind of getting acclimated into the offense? Because they've got six backs now, counting the four on the active roster. So, I don't know. You can tell this, and maybe people listening can tell this about both of us. I really do like the roster construction game of it all. I really do think that roster spots like 48 through 53 are very, very interesting. Ultimately, the Chiefs defense is going to be all about how impactful Chris Jones in the secondary is, more so than the run stuffing, you know, one tech D tackle. But if, also, I've done enough post game to know you have a day where you just get run over defensively and you go, well, this team needs some beef on the defensive line. And maybe that's the week they'll call Mike Pennell back.
Well, fourth in the NFL in points against last year, second the year before that. So definitely that got that. They do need to get to the pass rusher because they slipped all the way, or the quarterback, they slipped all the way to 18th in the NFL with that, Josh. The wide receivers are interesting to me too, because on paper, it looked great. Even Andy Reid at the end of mini camps, you know, talking about being able to have the same group back, essentially. The same core was back because he was still installing things, you know, midway through the season last year, because you did have new faces in the room. Then you had all the injuries to deal with. Well, things changed quickly with Rice getting suspended at the beginning of the season. I would rather have it later, to be honest with you. I'll be transparent about that. But they're going to do it at the beginning of the year, obviously, the six games. So he's out. And then Jalen Royals, battling that knee tendonitis, where he's been hurt, missed that last preseason game, so that's not a given. I mean, that could be an IR candidate as well. We don't know. Hollywood Brown is back, even though he's missed, you know, the last couple of weeks there in training camp and things like that in the preseason, but he has missed 24 games since 2022. I get it, 15 or more last year, but there was 9 before that. So it looks good now, but things can change quickly. Yeah, they're going to rely on Taekwon a lot, and Juju and Xavier is going to have to step up once again for this team. Should they have gone and got a veteran receiver, or are you good to go, or are they good to go with what they have?
I was a little bit curious when, like, the Keenan Allen just sort of, like, floating around there was happening.
Yes, that's who I wanted.
But we've probably been talking about Keenan Allen as a Chief off and on for the last 5 years something. We've seen his best football against the Chiefs, and so we fall in love with him. And I'm with you there. I don't think there was another veteran receiver who I was that worked up about. And I wasn't that worked up about Keenan Allen either, to be fair, but he was the one.
I don't think anybody was but me.
Well, I think literally no one in the league was, or else he probably would have gotten a larger deal.
But about it, he had 770 yards with the rookie quarterback and Caleb Williams. That would have finished second on the Chiefs. And it wasn't for the year. It was just for when Rice is suspended. It's a guy that plays in the slot. Rice spent half the time in the slot last year. That was all I wanted, man.
I think that was a good fit. So, again, I'm with you on that. The thing that you kind of highlight there, though, that is interesting, and this is something that I think we talked about this first or second week of the preseason, talking to Mitch Holthus after the game, where he said, look, like, Andy Reid's talked over and over about how good this wide receiver room is top to bottom. But now, as you're here past the 53, you know where the Rice suspension stands. Again, we'll see what happens with Jalen Royals. But now you're going, okay, well, for the first 6 weeks of the season, I will say, regardless of where Royals is at from an injury perspective, I'm not going to count on the rookie wide receiver in the first 6 weeks in an Andy Reid offense.
Nope.
Rashee Rice was in the back half of the season. Xavier Worthy really came on in the back half of the season. If Jalen Royals is going to do it, I'll look at the back half of the season. But Nico Remigio is a special teamer who hasn't gotten a lot of offensive run. Royals is a rookie and banged up. Jason Brownlee, I was sort of surprised they kept him on the 53. I think he's a very interesting build of wide receiver that they don't typically carry. I don't know if some DeAndre Hopkins leftovers are still in the playbook or what, but I like Brownlee. But ultimately now, you're looking at the first 6 weeks of the season, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Tyquan Thornton. That's not an absolute top shelf wide receiver group without Rashee Rice in it. With Rice as your number one, Worthy's a heck of a two, and Hollywood's a heck of a three, and Juju is a four, and Thornton is a five, and a field stretcher. I really like that group. But now you're asking Worthy to do more in the intermediate in the meantime. You need Hollywood to be out there and healthy. And again, last year was a freak injury. I'm not holding that against him. It wasn't like he just, you know, We've had some other receivers we've talked about over the years with some soft tissue stuff. That was not what was happening with Hollywood last year. His collarbone broke inwards towards his organs. That's no good. But you are asking for a lot from Hollywood and Juju, a couple of veterans who've always kind of been managing injuries here and there. A lot from Xavier Worthy, who I think is really going to be keyed in on from opposing defenses. And I think maybe most importantly, you're back to a very similar place you were last year, where you look at Travis Kelce and you say, hey man, can we just run the offense around you again for a little while? And I think you hope that he could actually do that for 4 to 6 weeks, pretty significantly, and then Rice comes back and takes a few things back off Kelce's plate. But part of the appeal of the offense this season was that you can get the best of Travis Kelce by asking for a little less from him. And for the start of the season, I'm not sure they're going to be able to ask for less of anybody who's catching passes, because you're not sure about Royals, you are sure about Rice, and I don't think you can say you know exactly what Hollywood or Juju are going to get you. Best case scenario, the wide receiver room's totally fine without Rashee. The worst case scenario, you're asking for a lot from Tyquan Thornton and then maybe eventually Nico Armijo and Jason Brownlee.
Because I really like the connection with Mahomes and Rice at this point. Were you okay with the six games? Where did you fall in line? Because like half the people are like okay with it being later in the season. Others like just get it over with. Then there was, you know, Nate that came on, Nate Taylor, that's, well, maybe he could have fought it, but then, you know, you're kind of gambling with it where they give you more games after the September 30th if he would have gone to the appeal. Where'd you sit with it? Because I would have rather had him at the beginning, because I know any game in the NFL is going to be tough. But these first six games, when you're starting to get a hot start and you're playing the Chargers, a division rival on a neutral field, I get it out there, and then having to play the Ravens, playing the back-to-back world champions in week two, the Eagles. It just, I was under, I just wanted it to be later, man. Not right in the beginning. Maybe I'm silly about that. Maybe it's good to get it over with, but wanting now.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll say kind of across the board, I'm pretty lukewarm on where it all landed. Not in a negative way. I'm just pretty neutral. Because if he is suspended after the arbitration date, even if it's immediate right out of that, which who knows, now you're missing the Bills game, and you're missing probably Thanksgiving, and now you're trying to figure out how to get back up to speed for the back half of the season. I understand if the Chiefs wanted to just get it done at the front end. I would hear the argument why. I hear your argument as to why you'd rather have it be more later in the year. I truly don't have a super strong feeling about that. The one thing it does do is it gives him a little bit more time to get fully back up to speed with the knee. Not that it's looked like a problem at all, but it's like, all right, well, here's 6 more weeks to just make sure you're fully, fully good there and up to football shape and all of that. And then ultimately, the length of the suspension, again, very similar for me. Think it's fine. I was bordering on irate with the reports that the NFL was looking for 10 games. Obviously, a 4-game spread isn't like a world-changing difference, but 10 felt crazy to me.
Agreed.
I think 4 to 6 was that range, really 3 to 6 after Jordan Addison got 3. If you said, yeah, it'll be 3 to 6 games for Rashee Rice, that seemed fair. I'd say, yeah, probably so. It was a bunch of really stupid decisions in a row. It kind of resets the personal conduct policy on some stuff for the NFL. No one was ever arguing he shouldn't be suspended. You can probably hear it in my voice. I think 6 is fine. I think 4 would have been fine and obviously better for the Chiefs. But I also understand, like, hey, let's not get to arbitration and then maybe we get 8 and now all of a sudden the plans are really getting shook up there. I understand getting it out of the way. I think it's okay. It will be very, very frustrating to not have him out there, specifically against the Ravens, though, because that could be one of those games that costs you a shot at the one seed or gives you a chance to take week 18 off. So it's a big, big challenge for the offense without their focal point. Ultimately, I think it's fair. I don't know that it's perfect, but I think it's fair.
My another big reason, too, was for Jalen Royals. And again, we don't really know this condition because, you know, when Rice, if he was suspended through October or whatever, maybe Jalen Royals more up to speed because it took, you know, Xavier a few games to get acclimated. Maybe Jalen Royals, you know, give him, you know, through the month of September, you know, kind of learning from the other guys and be more ready to go with Rice being suspended. That was one of the only reasons for me. One of them.
No, that's a good one. I said that somewhere at some point when it looked like it was going to be arbitration, or the, you know, the independent arbiter. I keep saying arbitration like we're talking about a baseball contract. I can't remember if that's the exact terms they use, but I'm with
Sue
you on
Robinson.
Royals. The Sue Robinson meeting. I was with you then, actually, too, where you go, well, you know, if he's out there for the first 4 weeks, then maybe that is 4 weeks that Jalen Royals can fully get up to speed and take on a little larger role. I agree with you. That to me was a silver lining of a later suspension, was asking for more from the rookie midway through the season. The other thing that's just crazy, and I don't really think it ended up mattering too much. Maybe it cost you Isapole, I don't know. But it's wild to me that the suspension came down like the day after the 53-man roster was all settled in. Would have probably been nice to have that before, but obviously the Chiefs knew what direction it was headed in, and the Tonyan bumping around at everything, you got back to the 53 they wanted, even though my 53 would have had Mike Pinnell on it. But I digress. We already talked about him.
Yeah, I did like some Mike Pinnell. But as far as the running back room, I know we talked about it there for a minute, but the thought was maybe they go out and try to make a trade, maybe go out to talk to Atlanta and say, hey, we'll take Algier from you. You have Bijan there as well. But they're going to go with this crew with Elijah Mitchell, Isaiah Pacheco, and Kareem Hunt. And Isaiah Pacheco did look really fresh. And he didn't exactly look as fresh when he came back from the injury last year. And that was to be expected. And Kareem Hunt kind of got those crucial carries for the Chiefs down the stretch. But as Tres Paylor used to tell me all the time, contract season's undefeated. And it's a big year for Isaiah Pacheco and income in the National Football League in the next contract going forward. He is a 4.37 speed guy, and they do have speed at running back because Elijah Mitchell is a 4.32 speed guy. So there's speed in the backfield. Then you have Breshard Davis. It's also, you know, a speed guy as well. So there is that speed element. Are we going to see the best of Isaiah Pacheco? Because I know the Chiefs are going to be running 12 and 13 personnel with tight ends. But can they alleviate some of this, you know, pressure not having Rice out there with the running game? Are you confident in the running back room?
I think the answer to will they, can they, yes. Am I confident? No, probably not. I really think Isaiah Pacheco this entire offseason to me has been one of my favorite guys to talk about because I think we have seen public perception on him change so dramatically after not playing very much football in that time. Going back to the beginning of last season, I think there are a lot of Chiefs fans that were frustrated when he wasn't mentioned as like a top 10 running back in the league. And I never quite had him at that level. I've always thought that he has a real use in this offense. He's a terribly fun running back to watch. He's got a great attitude for a back. Like, it really, he checks a lot of the boxes you want in an NFL running back, a starting caliber one at that. But I've always kind of, you know, envisioned him more in the middle pack of kind of mid-tier starter caliber runners. Then he gets hurt. He's gone for a while, out of sight, out of mind. Kareem Hunt comes in and looks, his vision is good, his burst is not. And then Pacheco comes back freshly off a broken leg and he doesn't look as explosive. And all of a sudden it's like, man, I can't see them trusting Isaiah Pacheco to touch the football this year. It's like, whoa, what happened, everybody? Like he went away and our memories are just very, very short. And in a lot of cases for running backs, that's earned because things change in running back careers so dramatically, so quickly. But I think seeing what we've seen from Pacheco a little bit at camp and then a little bit at the preseason games, just seeing that explosiveness and seeing his feet moving very, very cleanly, not quite as violently, which I mean is in a good way, in terms of a little more glide to him. I'm pretty optimistic about Pacheco because I think my expectations for him are relatively well settled, kind of in the middle of the pack. Kareem Hunt, I think, has a very specific role. I think it's really interesting that Elijah Mitchell did make the 53, because I assume that if they were looking at other running backs, that was probably the guy they were a little bit underwhelmed with. Breshard Smith's spot was never really in danger to me. You know, I know he was a 7th round draft pick, but it seems like they've got stuff they want him to do, even if it's not a significant number of running back carries early on. I think that's totally reasonable. Elijah Mitchell making, not just being in the organization still, but making the 53 makes me think that they think he's at least a capable third running back, not necessarily a third down pass protector. That's probably Kareem Hunt. The entire build of that running back room is interesting because I think some of the skill sets that you want to see aren't necessarily there, or at least aren't proven for a guy like Breshard Smith. I understand that they'd want some more explosion, some more speed. A healthier Pacheco will look a little better there. Kareem Hunt, he got training camp in an offseason and everything, but I don't think we're going to see him exactly exploding out of the backfield. Elijah Mitchell didn't show a lot of that in camp at the preseason, but it's been a pretty small sample size. And then again, Breshard Smith's been playing running back for one year of his life. I mean, so I'm cool with the process there. The nitpicky thing is the running back room with the practice squad, where I think Carson Steele and Clyde Edwards-Helaire are both individually super reasonable guys to have on your practice squad. Clyde knows the offense and he's been in it a lot, and Steele can do some things on special teams. He can be your fullback call-up and all of that. I would have been a little bit interested to see another guy closer to the Breshard Smith layout of a guy with some speed, maybe a little undersized and underexperienced, just to see if you can get somebody else comfortable in this offense. But maybe they've seen more from Elijah Mitchell than we have. And if that's the case, I think those four guys, and maybe it's Mitchell as a healthy scratch in week one. I have no idea, purely guessing there, but I think it's an okay room, and I think an okay room behind a pretty aggressive run-blocking offensive line with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, I think will be good enough.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Breshad Smith, to be honest with you. Excited to see those wheel routes coming out the outside. That, you know, 3-year receiver at Miami, Breshad Smith, can definitely go and do that. Josh, I look forward to talking with you next week. We'll talk a little college football. There's a little game in Columbia with Kansas and Missouri that I'm sure will be brought up.
I've heard a little bit about this game. I am aware of that. And I'll tell you, Bink, not to get too behind the scenes, but just before I hopped on with you guys, we were wrapping up a little Chiefs Radio Network meeting. And
yes,
you are officially on the books, my friend, and you're not going anywhere. I'm going to need you for, I think, about 6 good minutes of your best college football material. And I'll talk to you again. How about this? A week from today.
I will bring it to you next Friday, my friend. I look forward to it. Josh Briscoe, hear him on the Chiefs Radio Network, hear him every week on here as well. Thanks, Josh.
Appreciate it, Bing. Talk to you soon. Yeah.